Welcome to Parents' Perspective. I don't know what to do. Judy was close to tears. Mom, we all miss Mark. She took a deep breath and tried to speak more calmly. But Brandon won't come out of his room. Well, yes, he does eat, although he mostly wolfs down his food and leaves. No real attempt to connect with me at all. Yes, I do remember when Dad had to go on that long business trip. I did miss him, but no, I didn't remember that I cried at bedtime all those nights. But Brandon is 11. Isn't he a little old for holding himself up in his room every day? Hey, not a bad idea. He does have a friend whose dad is still on deployment. I could invite him and his mother over on Saturday. Well, thanks. Thanks for the thought. I'm certainly glad you're not deployed. Now, if you could only help with home repairs. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about the effects of a parent's deployment on children? I'm Linda Perlis. Sandy Burt cannot be with us for today's show. Our guest has herself been just where military families find themselves when trying to raise children during times of deployment. Julie LaBelle, with careers ranging from preschool teacher to practical nurse, considers her most challenging role to have been mothering her three young children during her Marine husband's deployments, and then years later, standing by when their son enlisted and deployed with the Marines. Julie wrote the activities in My Dad's Deployment and My Mom's Deployment based on things she felt she should have done with her children but didn't during deployments. With 20/20 hindsight, Julie gets a do-over in life, sharing activities for young children that she hopes will be loved by parents and children alike as they face deployment together. Julie is the mother of three grown children, a 31-year-old married daughter, 28-year-old son, who's a former Marine, and a 21-year-old daughter. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's the biggest challenge for children whose parents are deployed?
Well, I would like to start with a quote from an elementary-aged child. She was asked by her vice principal what deployment meant, and she said, "Deployment means sometimes you have nightmares and wake up screaming, and your mom has to come and take care of you." In my own experience, fear and loneliness for the parent is the greatest challenge that the children have. When a parent is in a combat situation, even young children may understand that there is imminent danger. Children as young as 5 and 6 and 7 can understand now war and that their parent's unit has been deployed over and over. So they know what's going on. Even years ago, children may have been sheltered from that information, but because of television, because of their classmates, this information is readily available. So it's a lot of information for small children to understand. I would like to emphasize, though, that not all deployments are hazardous.
Good point. Are the issues kids face with a deployed parent disproportionately tough on any specific age group?
In our own experience, yes. My children were aged 2, 9, and 13. And the 13-year-old spun wildly out of control. While the other kids did pretty okay, there were little signs and symptoms, but a 13-year-old already has, or a teenager, has so much going on in their own life. Grades, friends, learning to drive, a job. And to have that piece of their life pulled out at such a volatile stage in their development is a pretty big deal for them.
I'm sure kids really miss the parent that goes away, but I guess they react in all different ways at all different ages.
It's as individual as the person is.
What about the 2-year-old? Was the 2-year-old aware?
Not like the older kids were, but she did sense that something was definitely different. And she clung to me the entire year and a half my husband was gone. She developed a fear of men. And everywhere we went, she'd get up on my hip and she'd bury her head in my shoulder. And she would not look up until the man, which could even be her grandpa or her uncles, was gone. And when her dad came home, she did the same behavior when he came home. Kept her little head buried in my shoulder. She just was fearful that year. She also thought that all helicopters contained her father.
Aww.
So she would stand in the yard. We lived at the edge of Camp Pendleton, and she would yell up at helicopters, "Daddy, come down, come down." Aww. She just couldn't grasp the concept. but overall did well.
Sounds like you did well working with all the kids and their different kinds of problems.
On some days.
What are some ways parents can help prepare kids for the separation and the resulting new lifestyle of having a parent deployed? I was going through the books that you've written, and you certainly start with the preparation before the parent leaves and then follow through with while they're away and when they come back.
I think that's the first phase of deployment is preparing. And the family needs to communicate more. If I get in a car and someone doesn't tell me where I'm going, that's anxiety provoking. It's the same for a small child. They need to know what's coming up, what to expect. The parents should sit down with the children and come up with a family plan beforehand so that the kids feel secure and that the caregiver left behind, which is usually the mother, has a plan for what happens when things go awry, that the family has all talked about this beforehand. They also need to know, because of the fear that they can have of their parent going to war, they need to know clearly that their parent has had extensive training and has trained with their unit. In a lot of ways, I would emphasize how things will stay the same. One of the ways that you can show your children how things will stay the same is to go through what activities do we do when Dad is here, and then ask what activities stay the same after he leaves. And you'll find that most things stay the same. For instance, you can still have pizza on Friday night. You can still cuddle and watch TV. You can still go on walks. Bedtimes are the same. Mealtime can be the same. And then ask them, well, what's different when Dad is gone? And it's usually not really that much.
I would imagine it's different if Dad plays a role in any of those activities, though. Like if Dad sometimes is the bedtime reader.
Yes, yes. And so you have to find an alternative for that. One thing I think is really helpful is ask open-ended questions of your children. What is it you fear? What are you worried about? And leave it up to them to answer you, because their answers will often be far less than you think it is going to be. For instance, a sample question, what is it you fear when your father's gone? I fear the dark. Well, it can be as simple as leaving a light on. It may not be as monumental as we think it is.
Lots of young children have fears of darkness, thunder and lightning, strangers. So it is all sort of tied together and then more complicated, I guess, when a parent has to go away, especially for a long time, a year and a half.
It's a very long time.
It was a long time for you.
My husband left when my daughter was 2 and came home when she was 4. So for a child, that's a lifetime developmentally.
Mm-hmm. Very different. And as you say, she was a little reluctant when he came home.
All 3 were.
Wow. We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on children of deployed parents. The popular book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web. Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Julie LaBelle, author of My Mom's Deployment and My Dad's Deployment, about children of deployed parents. What should be the role of other caring adults, teachers, coaches, relatives, if they're not the caretaker of the child? And I know sometimes it's a grandparent who's in charge, particularly if 2 parents are deployed, or it's another relative or a family friend. The children still have relationships with other people in the community. What are their roles?
I think, as with any major disruption in the family, illness, death, divorce, deployment, it's important to let the key adults in your child's life know. Just keeping the lines of communication open, having that person more sensitive to, you know, your son went to softball this afternoon and hit somebody, and he's never been a hitter. I think it's important for the coach to know Dad left yesterday, and your son may be acting up a little bit, and communicate that with you so that you can work together. Also, your child may not always want to tell you everything. In my son's case, I had been a single parent before I married into the military, and for him to see me carry the weight again was troubling to him, even at 9 years old. So he was very sensitive to that and didn't want to add to my burden. And I think a grandparent, an uncle, a key individual would be easier for him to talk to about how he felt.
When you want to let other adults know that your husband is away or your wife is away, or a person in the family is away for an extended period of time, do you do that in the presence of the children, or do you find times to do it when the children don't know you're telling everyone?
Privately. I think that's a really good question. I think privately. When I ask my own adult children to look back on that period of their life, I got two completely different answers from my daughter and my son, and they're very typical. My daughter said, talk, 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 communicate, communicate, get everybody involved. My son said, don't let anybody know. This is a family deal. Someone may bring it up to me and I'm feeling okay, and then I'm going to be sad because they're talking. And that's pretty typical of a male, is keep it to yourself. Pretty typical of a female, talk it out. But I do think privately go to their teachers, privately go to grown-ups, and just let them know things may be a little bit different.
I'm sure they may be different. Are there red flags to watch for in a youngster's response to a parent's absence? You mentioned the hitting. Other kinds of things that might come up?
Definitely. Little children may revert to thumb sucking, bedwetting, clinging, biting, all sorts of behaviors that you didn't see before. Older children in elementary, their grades may be slipping. They may withdraw from the family. They may sit in their bedroom and be quiet more. And teenagers can up the ante on this greatly with drugs, alcohol, rebellious behavior, again, withdrawal from the family, a lot of acting out. Not necessarily, but you can see that.
How do you manage those things? You don't have another parent to help you out.
What a child needs is an emotionally well-balanced parent. And that means that you have to find somehow time for yourself so that you're in control. It may be that you need to jog every week or you need to work out, and you've got to find a way to do that, because when your teenager drives the car through the garage wall into the kitchen, you have to be able to cope with really big things. And an out of control or stressed out parent cannot be the rock for the children that they need to be.
Do you think it's different managing the discipline of children when there's one parent doing the job?
Oh, definitely. In our home, my husband is the good disciplinarian and I'm just a butterball. And so it was very hard for me to step up to firm discipline and carrying out the discipline. But that was one of the key takeaways for me, was how to be very strong.
In some of the cases where the children are exhibiting behavior that you want to discourage, under normal circumstances, I think you might discipline, or maybe there would even be punishment, but you know there's something else at play here, so it makes it a little tougher.
It is. It has to be appropriate. And I think sometimes if you're stressed out yourself, you may overpunish, you may yell, may do things that actually make it worse. I think taking a little bit of time away from the situation to kind of get a grip on your own emotions before meting out punishment is very important.
How can we support teens during this period? Because the teens, as you mentioned, are the ones that very often go to their rooms, or they want to hang out with their friends and they don't want to deal with home.
Well, I think, again, parents equal strength. If you have an emotionally in charge parent, they're better able to deal with that teen, and teens need that. They also need consistency and routine. If you can provide creative outlets for your teens, sports, in our own instance, it was our daughter went to the Bay Stable and she worked out a barter. She would groom the horses and then be able to ride the horses. It didn't cost anything for us, but that was a year that she discovered something beautiful in her own life, and that was connection to horses. Their child may be artistic. They may like to write. Journaling is a wonderful way to encourage them to express themselves. Again, ask open-ended questions instead of sitting down at the table and staring at them and saying, we're going to talk about this. For me, all the way through my children's teenage years, I found that if we did things where we did not have eye contact, such as driving a car, and we're both looking ahead, and I can slip in what it is I want to find out, They just talk and talk. So it can be a walk, it can be a car ride, it can be anything where you're not sitting there staring at them. Then they're probably going to clam up.
We talk about that often in all kinds of situations with children, that somehow driving a car with the children in the back seat, or even sitting, if it's an older child sitting next to you in the front seat, you're still not looking at each other, and they'll frequently talk more freely.
Very much. And if the behavior becomes out of control, there are many, many, many resources. And I would encourage parents to seek outside help if it becomes more than they can manage themselves.
Does the military offer that kind of help?
Yes, I'm sure that there will be somewhere on your base that you can go to a key volunteer. You can start with Military OneSource, which offers access to counseling. Yes, absolutely. I think the military has been wonderful in supporting families.
Now, sometimes a deployed person will come home for a short visit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't see that person for the whole deployment, like the year and a half that you mentioned earlier. What's the effect of a reunion on the children?
Reunion is really the third phase of deployment, and I think that needs as much communication prior to the service member coming home as the actual deployment did. There's a lot of shyness. I was actually scared to death when my husband came home. It had been so long, it was like having a stranger come back to the house. The kids all hid behind me. There's a lot to consider. For instance, in younger children, they have to share. My son pulled me in the kitchen and he said, "How do I get the remote back?"
Isn't that cute?
The parents are going to reconnect. So suddenly you've been the only one with your child and they've had your full attention. Now they don't. You're going to want to reconnect with your spouse. The bedroom door may be closed. And that's a really big thing, especially for a small child. Suddenly I don't have access full time to my parent. There's also the service member to consider, and when they come home, they are probably going to be exhausted no matter what kind of deployment it is. If it was hazardous duty, they may come home with a great deal of stress. There may be anger. They may need to stay in a room by themselves sometimes, and the children need to know that mom or dad may need some time to themselves. It should be a joyous reunion, but it's a little bit different than that in that it takes time for everyone to reconnect. And if the parent's only home for a short period of time and then back to deployment, it's very difficult in a week or 2 weeks to work out your dance together.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on children of deployed parents. Parents' Perspective needs you, your feedback, your opinions, and not least, your donations that help with the cost of producing this award-winning program.
Visit us online at www.parentsperspective.org and click on to Give Direct, I Give, or eBay at Mission Fish. Please help us continue to help you. Thank you.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Julie LaBelle, author of My Mom's Deployment and My Dad's Deployment, books about children of deployed parents. When a deployed military person comes home, should you invite family and friends to come and see that person?
Not right away. I think anybody who's flown from overseas knows that you've got jet lag, number one, no matter what else has gone on. I think the family definitely needs time to reconnect first. In our instance, my husband and I met in London first, and we had 5 days together. When we walked back in the house, the toilet was actively overflowing. The toaster oven had burned up, and we had 5 people waiting for us at the door at midnight after a 13-hour flight. And I could see myself how overwhelming it could be to walk in the door and have boom, everything. I think that it should be a slower period of reconnection. Let the father or mother reconnect first and foremost with their spouse and their children, and then let other people in.
I didn't realize that sometimes the spouses will reconnect before the deployed person actually comes all the way home.
I think that was unusual. I think usually, typically, the people I know will come home, and then maybe the parents might, if they're lucky, get away for a day or two to have some time to themselves.
It seems ideal, though, to have some time just for the two of you first.
For us, it made all the difference because we were a couple first. It wasn't we were a family connecting with one person, but the mom and dad. And then the mom and dad kind of are back to that unit that the children are accustomed to. Here comes our strength back together.
Who stayed with your children, just out of curiosity?
My parents did.
And that worked out okay?
Oh, beautifully, yeah. Deployment can be a very positive experience, which strengthens family bonds. This is your story, and this is probably one of the greatest parts of your story. We just drove through Camp Pendleton a couple weeks ago, and we realized that while all this was going on, this was our youngest, our strongest. It was an epic, sweeping tale. So you're actually, although it's hard, this is something you look back at with your greatest pride. And so can your children. Your children will also be watching you cope and further experiences for them, challenges they face in their own life, will largely be based on what they saw growing up on how you handled the greatest challenges in your life.
Our children get a lot from us that we don't say, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Comes from how we behave. Can you very briefly just tell us what some of the activities are that you offer through your books for children?
Sure.
So parents have some idea of what my dad's deployment and my mom's deployment are.
The book is geared toward the younger child, probably 4 to 8. But when I was reflecting on even teenagers, there were so many things in here that could be used. For instance, what kind of emotions will I be experiencing? And there's a page full of faces. Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I giddy? Am I shy? How do I feel? Circle the ways that you feel. The book is divided into 3 sections. Pre-deployment, which should be done with the deploying parent. Deployment, which should be done with the caregiver. And then reunion, which you'll really want to do as a family as you prepare together to welcome your service member back home.
There's a third book that you've brought us a few of, Military Life Stories and Poems for Children.
Mm-hmm. This is a collection of stories and poems by families who have been in the military. And in this book, I have a poem, How the Child Can Be Like the Parent. For instance, you sleep in a tent, so can I. You stand tall and straight at attention, so can I. There are many similarities between the parent and the child. One thing that is really important with younger children is that before the parent deploys, they begin calling home and talking to their young children. Young children usually freeze up on the phone.
True. I know that.
So if they are used to talking to their parent before they leave and their parent calls home when they do leave, they're going to be more comfortable and actually want to talk on the telephone.
That sounds like such a good idea. Just call home from work or from wherever. Yeah.
And I think another thing is teach your children to pray. When they're afraid and lonely, it's very empowering for them to be able to do right on the spot. I'm scared, I'm lonely, and I need help from my parent. The book goes through ways that the child can stay in touch. And one thing I really like is the deployment time capsule, where the deploying parent and the child works on together and asks the child things like, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite food? What's your favorite toy? Who's your favorite friend? And things like that, whatever specific to you. And then when the parent comes home, open that time capsule together, and you can look at the ways things have stayed the same and the way things have changed.
In addition to your own books, My Mom's Deployment, the activity book, and My Dad's Deployment, and the Military Life Stories and Poems for Children, do you have other resources you might suggest?
I do. I think Military OneSource, it's the best place to get started. There should be many resources on your base and through your unit. You can also do your own internet search and put in your specific problem. For instance, I just put in help for teens of deployed parents, and so much information came up. So whatever it is you may be having trouble with your toddlers, just Google that and do your own search, find what works well for you. Also, militaryfamilybooks.com is a great place for one-stop shopping for books for the needs of military families. I would like to end with a quote from Pat Conroy's book, My Reading Life. The gathering of fighting men would be thanking their children, their fine and resourceful children who were strangers in every town they entered, thanking them for their extraordinary service to their country, for the sacrifices they made over and over again to the United States of America, to its ideals of freedom, to its preservation, and to its everlasting honor.
I'm so pleased that Julie LaBelle could be with Parents Perspective today. Thank you for sharing your own experiences, your insights, and the work you've done with all
Thank
of us.
Thank you so much.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of one of Julie LaBelle's books or of the Military Life Stories and Poems for Children. Email us at parentspur@gmail.com. We need your name and mailing address, your snail mailing address, and mention show number 490. Please spell anything that's not obvious and tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Visit our website, where you can also email us, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice, or check us out at facebook.com/parentsperspective. This is Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from Carol and Richard Barron. Parents Perspective is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation made possible by your financial support. Thank you for your contributions to Parents Perspective Incorporated. It's possible to donate online through GiveDirect or iGive.com or MissionFish at eBay. Or you can mail checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Our sound engineer is Kent Hitchcock. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.